We have come to the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 4. This brings us into a new section of the book. The first three chapters are devoted to what you are in Christ Jesus and the resources that you have through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul sets out in the first three chapters the many spiritual blessings that God has bestowed upon us as he has positioned us in Christ in heavenly places. Having thus seated us in this glorious place in Christ, he now, in the next 2.5 chapters, will exhort us in our Christian walk. We have all of the resources necessary to be everything that the Lord would have us to be. And so Paul begins now in chapter 4 talking about the walk of the believer. And as you are reading through the next couple of chapters, you should be marking where Paul tells you how to walk. This is the emphasis in the next 2.5 chapters. In the last chapter, the latter part of the chapter, Paul will then be telling you how we need to stand against the forces of darkness that control this world, and the believer's warfare as we stand against the powers that are seeking to destroy. So, first of all, he gets you seated in Christ. Then he gets you walking. And then finally he gets you into the battle as we're standing fast in the things of the Spirit, not yielding to the enemy. As he gets into chapter 4, Paul does reveal, beginning with verse 12, the purpose of the church. He tells us that the purpose of the church is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. For years, I was taught, and I believed, that the primary purpose of the church was the evangelization of the world. And I sought to be evangelistic, win the world for Jesus Christ. But as I studied the book of Ephesians in the early years of my ministry, I began to challenge the teaching that I had throughout Bible college. And I began to see here in Ephesians that the primary purpose of the church is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. The commission to the church by Jesus indeed is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But the purpose of the church is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Paul begins his letter to the Ephesians with the words, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Now, if you take out the name Paul and you put in your name, take out the word apostle, what word would you insert there? What are you by the will of God? What has God called you to do? What place of service has the Lord called you in his church? Now, every one of us have been called to serve the Lord in one capacity or another. And it's important for us to know where God has called us to serve. And we should seek the Lord until we have made our calling and our election sure. I know exactly where God wants me to serve him, how God wants me to serve him. And you can take out the word Paul, and I can insert Chuck, a pastor teacher by the will of God. I know that's where God has called me to serve him. But where has God called you to serve? And we all need to know our calling within the body of Christ, that we become what God wants us to be. Paul asked, are all apostles? Are all evangelists? Are all prophets? Are all pastor teachers? And obviously the answer is no. But we are all something. There is a place in the body of Christ for each of us to fulfill that function and that place in the body where the Lord would have us to serve him and where the Lord would have us to be. And the purpose of the church is to perfect you for that place of service in the body, to bring you into a maturity in your service to the Lord. The second reason that Paul gives us for the purpose of the church existing is that the body of Christ might be edified. The edifying of the body of Christ, he says. The word edify means to build up. When you come to church, you should be built up in Jesus Christ. And it is the word of God that makes us strong. When John wrote his letter, he said, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, because the word of God abides in you. And so we come to be built up in the word of God. Paul, when he was writing to the church of Corinth, said, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you might excel in the edifying of the church. You desire to have spiritual gifts, good, but seek that you can use them to build up the church. And then in chapter 14, 26, he said, how is it, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm or a doctrine or a tongue or has a revelation or an interpretation. Let all things be done to the edifying. See that when we gather together, we are building one another up. Everything done to edify. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, said, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. I'm seeking to build you up. In chapter 4 of Ephesians here in verse 16, Paul speaks of the church edifying or building itself up in love. I think that it's important that as we gather together as a church, that we have in mind the building up of others, edifying them in love, praying with them, sharing with them, saying to them that we love them in the Lord. We are concerned with their needs and seek to build them up and encourage them. There are some people who seem to feel that their calling is to tear down, and they're always looking for some problem or some fault and seeking to tear down. And in life, you will always find those who seem to be very skilled in tearing things down And there are others who are very skilled in building things up. And you are one of the other. You're in the process of destroying or building. And that it's sad that so many people leave a place dirtier than when they arrived. And there are others who always leave a place much better than when they arrived. Life just seems to have people who are trashy and people who clean up trash. Others trash. What kind of a person are you? Now, we should seek to build up, to make the church a better place. Paul, again writing to the Corinthians, says, knowledge puffeth up. And you see these guys puffed up with knowledge. And they are the ones that seem to be most critical. Because I have the knowledge to see where he's made a mistake. And, you know, and knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Building up one another, edifying one another in love. And then Paul tells us that the church was formed to bring us into the unity of the faith. Now, in the first part of the chapter, Paul speaks about the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, endeavoring to keep this unity of the Spirit. And the unity of the Spirit is extremely important because it takes years many times to come to a unity of the faith. Now, I'm not saying, nor do I believe, that we all have to see the same interpretation or understanding of a scriptural passage. I know many scriptures that can be interpreted 1, 2, 3, 4 ways. And people are always insisting, it seems, that their interpretation is the correct interpretation, and a heretic is someone who believes different than you. You know, you're the only one that has the true sound doctrine, and anybody who doesn't believe exactly like you is a heretic. But yet, there is room for disagreements, and they should always be allowed, but always within the context of the unity of the Spirit. We don't have to break fellowship just because a person doesn't see this scripture exactly as I see it. They don't understand it exactly as I have come to understand it. It's interesting how strange a slant some people can get on scriptures. And then how they seem to be insistent on pushing that particular interpretation. Room for disagreement, but if we disagree, we need to do so agreeably. And allow latitude for another person's belief on the interpretation. Now, I would much rather have the wrong facts and the right spirit than I would to have the right facts and the wrong spirit. God can change my facts in an instant. But there are many people who struggle their whole lifetime with a bad attitude, bad spirit, antagonistic spirit. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace till we all come. And I don't know if we will all come to the unity of the faith until we get to heaven. I was with Dr. McGee, J. Vernon McGee, when he's still alive. I was with him in a meeting in Hawaii. And as he introduced me to his Bible class there, he said, "This young man teaches the Word of God. And God has blessed and given him a great church in Costa Mesa, you know." And He said, now, we don't agree on everything, but he says, I respect his right to be wrong. Well, please respect my right to be wrong. I mean, that's good. I received a letter this week from a person in the church that took issue with a statement that I made last Thursday night. But he did so in a very kind and loving way. And he presented his side of the issue. And he did so very well. And I can accept that. I think that's healthy. I think that's good. Paul commended the Bereans because they searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. Paul had taught to them that Jesus, the Messiah, had to suffer and die and rise again. And he showed them in the scriptures. They went home and they studied the scriptures to see if Paul was right. You see, their concept of the Messiah was that he was going to rule and reign. And here Paul is showing them other scriptures that talks about his suffering. And they went home to search the scriptures to see if those things were so. And Paul commended them because of their diligence in searching the scriptures. You know, I think that Chuck Missler is a great one to provoke you into searching the scriptures. He comes out with some of these weird things. You think, wait a minute, you know. But what does it do? It gets you in the scriptures. You start searching. And that's good. That's good. But if we say, well, I don't agree with that. And of course, right now, this latest book on the aliens and so forth, the sons of God in Genesis. There are those that believe they're the descendants of Seth, and there are those that believe they're fallen angels. Who are they? You can interpret it either way. And there are many who believe that they are the sons of Seth or descendants of Seth, the godly seed. And there are many who believe they are fallen angels. Now, there should be room for both beliefs. I don't have a firm conviction one way or the other. You can talk to me about the sons of Seth and point out and say, yeah, that sure makes sense. You can talk to me about the sons of God, the fallen angels, sons of God, turmoil. Yeah, that sure makes sense, you know. Unity of the faith, that is the unity of the Spirit until we all come. And I don't think that we'll probably come to the unity of the faith till we get to heaven. And then you'll find out I was right all the while. Isn't it interesting how we're looking forward to heaven to prove who was really right? Oh, thank God if we make it, we won't even care, will we? The main thing is to make it, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace till we all come to the unity of the faith. But the church has been formed, Paul tells us, to bring us into the knowledge of the Son of God. And this can only be accomplished through the systematic study of the Word, teaching the Bible, the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments. Because the Old Testament speaks of the Son of God, the Messiah that is going to come. The New Testament points out that Jesus is the promised Messiah, pointing out that he fulfilled all of the things that the Messiah was to do. And so the church has been formed to bring people into a knowledge of the Son of God. The church exists in order to bring a person into spiritual maturity. Paul said, unto the perfect man. Now, the word perfect there means full age. That's the literal Greek word, full aged or fully matured. And the purpose of the church is to bring you into a full maturity in your walk with the Lord. The book of Hebrews, the readers are rebuked by the writer because when the time came that they should be able to teach the Word of God, they were still in need of being taught. That when he desired to give them some spiritual meat to chew on, they were still needing the bottle and formula. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, had the same kind of a complaint. He said to the Corinthians that he fed them with milk and not with meat, because you haven't been able to take the meat up till now, and you're still not able to take the meat. It's always a sad thing when people have been in church for 25 years or longer and are still needing to be bottle fed. They've not experienced spiritual growth. They haven't experienced spiritual maturity. They're still as demanding little babies. And if you don't do things their way, then they'll take their marbles and go find another place to play, you know. And they are sad because they haven't really developed spiritually. They seem to be in an arrested case of spiritual development. Paul said, you're still babes in Christ. Now, as he talks about this spiritual maturity, what are we moving into? What will be the sign of having achieved true spiritual maturity? Paul said, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, that's God's purpose for your life. He wants to bring you into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Fully developed in him. As the psalmist said, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. Jesus is the model that God is using as he molds and shapes your life. He wants to make you like his son. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. When God has finished in my life, I will be like Jesus. We sang it this morning, and hopefully it was the prayer of your heart. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, and stamp thine own image deep on my heart. And so when Paul says that the church is to bring you into the full maturity, he's talking about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus. He's talking about not being children anymore, as he said here in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. And the marks of the childishness is being carried to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And there are so many winds of doctrine blowing through the church today. The spiritual fads that come along. But you know that fads come and go. They don't last. They may be popular for a while, but then they fade. But then they come back again. And then they fade. And then they come back. I've got a whole bunch of wide ties at home. I'm just waiting for wide ties to come back in. I've got a bunch of real narrow ties, and I'm waiting for the narrow ties to come back in. I save a lot of money by saving my old ties, because wait long enough and they'll be in vogue again, and everybody will be buying narrow ties again, and I'll have my little stash all set, just waiting for narrow ties to come back. But so are the fads of the world. They pass by, and everybody gets excited, and they go along with it, but then it changes, and it moves in another direction, and so here they go, blowing off in another direction, you know, traipsing after, you know, the fire's falling in Toronto. And so let's chase to Toronto for the blessing. Well, those who chase to Toronto for the blessing have now chasing down to Florida. And, of course, for the winter, that might be pretty wise, you know. Pensacola, that's where it's happening, you know. And these people, floating congregation, they hear where the fire is falling, and like little babes or children, they are going to and fro, not stable, not mature, but chasing after the fire, where it could be happening or where it might be happening. And there are many men, Paul here calls them, cunning men, or the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are many men who are out there trying to create a new phenomena, spiritual phenomena, that everybody will come traipsing now to their door. And you wonder, after Florida, where will they traipse next, and what will be the new gimmick that people will be drawn to, because they are spiritually immature. They are still children who are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Paul said that in the last days, people would not endure sound doctrine, but they would have itching ears, and they would heap up unto themselves teachers who would appeal to that itching ear, not enduring sound doctrine. We have today what is called the seeker-friendly church. What it is the church for the itching ears. The seeker-friendly church. Come and we'll tickle your, or we'll scratch your ears, I guess. They already are tickling again, and so you need to scratch. So, but it's sad that they say, oh, you'll never hear the word sin mentioned in this pulpit. Well, then that means they're not teaching the whole word of God, doesn't it? Because the word sin surely appears in the Bible. You will never hear the word born again mentioned in this pulpit. Well, that's tragic. Because if you're not born again, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so, the purpose of the church is to build you up, make you strong, that you not be a child any longer, bring you into maturity, so that you not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. The church has been formed to help people to grow up in all things in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, he said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him, that is into Jesus, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, the church has been formed to help you to grow up in everything in Christ, to be matured in Jesus Christ. And this is accomplished by speaking the truth in love. Sometimes the truth is spoken, but not in a loving way. Sometimes, as we present the truths of God, we sound as though we are angry. And we're sort of shouting at the people in an angry tone of voice, rather than speaking the truth in love. A little boy walking out of church was overheard as he was talking to his dad. And he said, looks like God's mad at us again, Dad. And that's the way the message was presented, in that kind of anger and, you know, but speaking the truth in love. There are a lot of people who, as we said earlier, are out to criticize, they're out to destroy, they're out to tear down. And a lot of them listen to my tapes over and over again in order to find some little fault so they can go on the email and say, this is what Calvary teaches. And their whole purpose is to, you know, find the flaws. And I'd like to say to these people, just why don't you grow up? Don't be children anymore. Develop and grow up. Now, Paul tells us that in speaking the truth in love, that we might grow up. And that's the whole idea. Grow up in Christ in all things. For he is the head, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. That is, Jesus is the head of the church, and he's the one who fits you into the body. Where do you fit? Into the body of Christ. He's the one who fits us into the body. Someone asked me, are you the head of the church here? I said, oh, no, no, no. I'm a flunky. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He said, well, what do you do? Well, whatever's necessary. I pick up papers in the parking lot. I pull weeds out of the flower beds. You know, whatever's necessary. We used to have a man in the church. So he's now home with the Lord. But his ministry was every Monday when his wife came for intercessory prayer, he would walk the whole parking lot picking up the trash. What a glorious ministry in the church. And what a blessed ministry it was. Every Monday when I saw him out there, he even devised a little thing that he didn't have to stoop over. He could had sort of a gripper on it, and he could work it with his hand, you know, and picking up trash. And I blessed that man in the Lord so many times as I'd see him walking the parking lot and just making the house of God clean and presentable. And tremendous ministry. But Jesus is the one, Paul tells us, who fits us. He is the head, and he's the one who fits us into our place in the ministry. I thank God for the board that we have here at Calvary Chapel. The men that are on the board, we meet once a month. And the first part of the meeting is devoted to prayer. In seeking the mind and the will of the Lord. We acknowledge that Jesus is the head of the church, and we are here just to hear from him and to implement what he wants done. We're not here to direct or to guide. We're here to listen to him and let him guide, and we're here to implement that which he has purposed and that which he desires. So the first part of the board meeting is devoted to just seeking the Lord and the mind of the Spirit for the church, what the Lord wants done, recognizing that Jesus is the head of the body, his church. And he fits each of us into the body as pleases him, fitly joined together and compacted, that is, his body, and that every joint supplies, that is, everyone is fulfilling his place in the body. And how wonderful it is when the whole body is functioning, Jesus the head, he's put us in our various places, and each of us are fulfilling that place in the body where I've been called and where I've been placed. Every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part effectually working, every part working together. And it makes the increase of the body. When this happens, the body grows. It makes increase, and it is building up itself in love. That's the church, and that's the purpose for the church. Ultimately, to be increased as we build ourselves up in love. So, this is what God has called the church to be and what God intends for the church. And by the grace of God, this is what we are seeking to be. And the purpose is to minister to you, to build you up, to bring you into spiritual maturity, to help you to grow up, to help you to find your place of service to the Lord and fulfill that place, perfecting you for the work of the ministry as you are built up in Jesus Christ. And as you become strong through the Word of God, the church then is fulfilling its purpose. And God is blessing. Father, we thank you for this opportunity of looking today at what you want the church to be. Lord, we want to become everything you would have us to be. We pray that as people come, there might be the maturing spiritually, that we might grow up in all things in Christ Jesus, that we would not be any more like babes, like children who are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But Lord, we might love and show your love and be built up in that love as we encourage and strengthen one another through the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? I pray that this week the Lord will help you to find a place of serving Him. It may be taking a dinner over to someone who has been sick for a while. It may be just encouraging someone who is going through severe trials at the present time. Whatever it is, may God give you an opportunity to fulfill your purpose by building up someone else, strengthening them, encouraging them, and helping them. What joy there is when we are serving the Lord and doing things in His name for His glory. For you cannot give a cup of cold water unto a prophet in the name of the Lord, except the Lord will reward you for that. Little things you will be rewarded for. And so may God help us to just be on the look for things that we can do in helping and building up others for His glory.